What I'd like to do this morning in the time that we have is I would like to take the information that you have about the Servants by Design and your unique design and the great job that Jerry did of saying what that means for your church and for you individually. And I would like to hang that on a model which I think is a biblical perspective of how that all fits together. Truthfully, there's any number of personality models out there, and there's a lot of other good ones. This is the one that we're familiar with, and it has some advantages. But the main thing that we're really interested in is that it helps us understand better our spiritual life and how God made us and the work that God prepared us for. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk you through just a framework to hang this on. We've trained, I think, 31 people over the last 2 days to go into more depth about the Servants by Design, your unique design model. They'll be prepared to do a Service by Design workshop, which is a great one for the 11th graders. They'll know the information and have the materials to do the Marriage by Design, which shows how your design makes a difference in your relationship and your marriage. One of the first needs, as Jerry said, that people started responding to was, this helps me to begin to understand my children. The Your Unique Design is actually a special part that goes with the men's fraternity, and it's that one little profile that you got that's published through Fellowship Bible Church. And then the Process Spiritual Model, that's the big name. That's what Dr. Kaler calls our part of his material. And he's licensed us as to develop and build materials around the spiritual applications of his process communications model. So that's all that means. The great design model was developed partly with an interaction with Dr. Wanda Stevens, who was a psychiatrist that ran a psychiatric hospital in Arkansas. And Dr. Stevens was very familiar with Dr. Kaler's material, and she said, I think this material has implications for a Christian worldview. And she said, Bob, would you like to write something about that? And what I told her was, I'd love to, Dr. Stevens. Matter of fact, I've already started 6 months ago, and if you'd like to pay me to do that, that would really be fun. So part of the reason that we're here and that we have that I had the time and was because of Dr. Stevens's grace and sacrifice to make this possible. So I want to honor her with that. Here we go. I'm going to just build you a model here. It begins with the idea that God built into us a design. And the first thing that happens when we start teaching the material that people say is, well, is that our genetics or is that our experience? They want to know the nurture-nature issue. And what I always say is, doesn't it make sense that a God who would design us for certain work would both fit us physiologically and train us circumstantially to do his work? So the answer to the nature and nurture question is both. And I think that's probably where a verse comes in where you'd say something like, got to work all things for the good. All things. And I think that has to do with, of course, the fact that we can go through hardship and God can turn that and have that hardship interact with our design and prepare us that much more exquisitely to do his work in the kingdom. So we start with the design. And as Jerry gave you examples of, the first part has to do with his eyeball, just how you view the world. And Jerry said there's maximum, at the very maximum, that's dreamer, energizer. See, I love putting this all together. So this is a dreamer, energizer. It's checking you out. You think you're watching me? For those persisters out there who are in mild distress, we're watching you too. Okay. Now, there's also certain strengths, and y'all will be very glad that you don't have the foghorn sound that goes with this particular slide. So he gave us certain strengths and abilities, and that's where it talks about, you know, some were made to be teachers, some were made to whip children into line while others were worshiping. Some were, is that one of the strengths? Maybe not. I think it is, because I can't do it. Some of us were made with compassion and a heart for other people particularly. Others were made with the ability to deal with details. Some of us were able to toe the line and be able to discern in minute levels right for wrong. Others were able to lead the charge into action, as Jerry talked about. All those are the strengths that were built in by God in the beginning. And it says in the scripture again, he knew you, he created you for good works before you were born. Matter of fact, it was before he created the world. It goes back that far. Christ knew you, he chose you for good works before he made the rest of the world. So, it's just, you know, all we have to do is get on board. The plans are laid out. We're all, God in his goodness to us, and I think this is really an act of grace, not only did he give us special talents and gifts, but the other thing he did was he wired us so that when we exercise the gifts that he gave us, we experience fulfillment, we experience his pleasure. So if I am a harmonizer and God gives me the ability to view the world through my emotions and my feelings, and he gives me a special gift of empathy and the ability to be tender and warm, he leads me into relationship and he allows me to feel fulfillment in and through relationships. If I'm a problem solver and I view the world like a digital camera, I'm collecting data. And then God's given me the ability to take that data and apply it towards certain problems that need to be solved and to come to conclusions and to converge upon an answer. God gives me the ability, the privilege to experience pleasure and fulfillment and satisfaction as I reach closure, as I solve problems, as I get all the numbers to add up just exactly right. Now, I'm a dreamer, and if the numbers add up right, I go, why didn't it do that last month? Okay. Now, if I'm a believer, if I'm that persister and operate out of my beliefs, God gave me the ability to experience pleasure and his satisfaction and his love for me as I exercise my beliefs. And all that's true as long as we stay in a healthy spot. So, here's an example of motivations. It's still hungry, and I've been stuffing worms into it all day. Jerry talked a lot about, he talked about the viewpoint, and what the truth is, if I'm a harmonizer and I'm built for relationships, I can't add up enough columns of numbers to feel satisfied. If I'm an achiever and I like to add things up and I like to solve problems, if I'm running late and I can't get my job finished, it doesn't matter how many people smile at me and tell me they're glad I'm there. If I'm a catalyzer and I like to move things into action, it doesn't matter how much fun I have playing basketball or how many people come in and tell me they love me. If I can't make things happen and take opportunities and put them together with energy and make something happen out of that, I will feel restless and burned out. And so there's an example. It does not matter how many worms you stuff in that baby. That baby is not going to be full. And when the baby's not full, it creates a fuss. Any mamas in here agree with that? Okay. And so if you just think about, when we start talking about negative behaviors, if you think of yourself as a baby that's eating too many worms and not enough good stuff, and you're creating a fuss, that's what distress is about. And the profiles that most of you got didn't have much about distress. I would have pitfalls, is that what they call them in that? But there's just like a little bit. Well, there's a lot more about that, and you've got 30 people in this room that are trained to teach you more about that if you want to learn more about it. God built the design for everybody. I believe that. And he had work for everybody to do. But what happens is we reach a point where we have to make a choice, and the choice is going to be, who will I serve? Whom will I serve with these gifts? And for most of us, hopefully it's at least a one-time choice where we say, I choose to follow Christ. I choose to serve God with the gifts I've been given. And people refer to that as coming to Christ, or, you know, they've got a lot of different terms. But that's a one-time decision that happens. And that's wonderful. And then the other part of it is, I guess that goes under the justification realm. Okay? But there's another part of it that's related to sanctification, and that is every day, moment by moment, I have to remake that decision, who will I serve? Moment by moment, I'll have to decide that. And so if I'm talking with a friend who's telling me about something that I don't think is right, and I have to choose, do I smile and agree because I care more for her friendship and her approval in this moment than I do for the truth? I'm having to make a choice. Who will I serve? Okay? That choice is over and over again. What happens after that is based on the choice. And we all make this choice every day, over and over. So I'm not, you know, Jerry said we're all fallen. It's the absolute truth. If I decide that I define my needs and that I have to meet my own needs, then I will move in this direction away from fulfillment and away from using my gifts to serve God. I will move towards self-satisfaction, taking care of Bob, and feeling momentarily okay, but I'll be on a wheel. It will never really be fulfilling. It may be temporarily satisfying, but not fulfilling. If I move in this direction, both as a life path and as a moment-by-moment decision, I decide that living in the presence of God is enough, and God says, I'm your portion. He says he's adequate. He says, if I care about the lilies of the fields and the birds of the air, and I take care of them, after I gave my son for you, why would I care less for you? So God says, I've got you covered. You just do what I need for you to do. Okay. If I move this way, I'll begin to experience serving myself, and I will feel driven. And it's really interesting because Taby, 20-something years ago, used the term drivers. And they're those momentary deceptions that all of us live under, which say things such as, I'm going to be okay, safe, and secure as long as you're pleased with me. If you smile, if you raise your eyebrows, if I get a positive response from you, I'll be okay. And it's a momentary hit. It's an addiction. The Bible says, beware of people pleasing. But it's a momentary hit. It's like taking my ability, taking my special gift to know as a harmonizer what it is that you're feeling and needing and expecting. And then I become a chameleon and I become whatever it is that you need, feel, and expect so that I can get that smile from you. Because unless I get it, I'm going to feel anxiety. Is that making sense? Okay, great, thanks. All right, now, I learned that from Jerry. Does that make sense? I don't think much, but Jerry likes for things to make sense. And so, okay. All right. Now, I told this story. I'd like to repeat this story because I think it's worthwhile to show the difference. And sometimes a story will stick in your head and it'll give you something. I'd like for you to leave today with something that you'll be able to use the rest of the week and the rest of the year. So that'd be great. So I'm going to give you a story about a group that was traveling through Israel and the Holy Land. And they had the tour guide on the bus, and he began to talk about how Jesus was the good shepherd, and the sheep knew his voice, and the sheep would follow him. And they were listening to this language and the pastoral language and understanding that relationship. And as the bus went by a flock of sheep, what they noticed was the sheep were just getting it, man. They're going fast. We don't have sheep in Arkansas, but that's what they would sound like, I think. So they go like that, like this. Could have been a herd of razorbacks going. Anyway, he's racing these things. He's chasing these sheep, okay? And so he's had a stick, and he's beating on the ground and whopping the slow ones. Do y'all do whopping out here? Yeah, whopping the slow ones. And they were all fixing to get in trouble. Yeah. And so one of the people on the bus said, what's this? That's not the picture that you gave us. So the tour director went out and the bus driver pulled over and the director went over and spoke to the fellow who was behind the sheep, and you could see this conversation going on. And then the tour director got back on the bus and he said, everything I told you about the shepherd and the sheep was the truth. That man was the butcher. Well, what we know is that Our adversary, the devil, roams the world like a hungry lion, looking for people to devour. He is the butcher. And I think every time we experience ourselves as being driven by those drivers that I was talking about, I think he is taking charge. He has convinced us of the lie that we are somehow not safe, not secure, not lovable, that God is not in control, that it is up to us to make it. And that is a very unpeaceful place to live. And so when you start feeling yourself with those driven feelings, those drivers, and we'll talk about them, that is where that's coming from. Okay. If I am living in the presence of God and I'm trusting that he is adequate, not just adequate and sufficient, but abundant, to meet my needs, to take care of me, I will feel led. I will not feel driven. I will not live in anxiety. And again, I'm not talking about I won't live in anxiety for 5 years. I'm saying I might be free for 5 minutes. Because I don't know about y'all, but 5 minutes is pretty good for me to stay in a healthy spot. You know. So, and boy, all you have to do is turn on CNN. You should have seen people wrestling with their stomachs as they watched the news about the economics this morning on the TV. You know, I'll guarantee you, they were not feeling real. I can't guarantee you that. I will change it. I hope there were people there who were feeling peace and knowing that no matter what CNN was telling you, God was in control and it was going to be okay. That's what I'm hoping was happening there. They were being led and they had full access to their gifts and abilities to do God's work that morning. And maybe their work that morning would have been to share the gospel or to share why they had hope when other people seem to not. The verse from Matthew, I'm not going to read it, I've mentioned it. If I move into this driven behavior, my needs will get focused on meeting me. I will take my God-given abilities and I will twist them just a little bit to take care of myself. So whereas if I were with somebody as a harmonizer and God gave me the ability to be empathetic and know what they were feeling, so that I could attend to them. If I'm living in this spot, if I'm getting my needs met as a harmonizer, I will be aware of what they need, and then I will tweak and change myself so that I will be acceptable to them and I'll get the smile that I have to make sure I'm okay today, or at least for this next 5 seconds. The way that'll happen, what'll play out in relationships is, over a period of time, I'll establish games in relationships to where I know what to do and you know what to do, and so we'll go through this game over and over again. And those of y'all who've been married more than about 20 minutes will understand that you step into a space where all of a sudden you go, oh no, I know where this goes. You'll say that, and I'll say this, and you'll say that, and you'll say that. I'll walk out, you'll be mad. We've done this dance. And what that tells you is that you're not living with respect to that. You're not living in freedom and spontaneity. And you're not being who you are or who you were made to be. You're in a role. You're in a role. You're acting out of play. You're communicating with masks. And really, at that point, you've become a caricature of the negative side of who you really are. And that's why for each of the personality types, I can say, this is the personality type. And if I run it all the way out to the end of the string towards negative, there's a psychiatric diagnosis for that. And so I don't need to go into that right now, but it is. It's like if you take what God gave you and you distort it enough, it becomes a symptom, not a gift. If I use my gifts to serve God, I will experience fulfillment. And I don't know about you. There's a place in the movie Chariots of Fire where Eric Little says, y'all familiar with Chariots of Fire? I got some knowledge. There's a place in there where he's saying to his sister about, yeah, God made me to go to China, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel God's pleasure. That's what you're shooting for. That's when you know you're getting in the groove, or however you'd say it. That's when you know you've got your gifts lined up with God's work, and that God's in charge of taking care of you, and you're in charge of taking care of business. If I'm able to believe that I'm safe, secure, and lovable, and that that it is sufficient that God loves me and wants to take care of me, if I believe that's sufficient, then I don't have to live in a self-protective, distorted way. I have the ability to move towards you with intimacy. And when I'm working with the couples in my practice, they think, if I'm working with couples who don't even have a clue about what a Christian perspective might be, and I start saying to a couple, you know, sir, your business is really not what your wife's not giving you. Your business is what you're giving her. And then I would tell her the same thing. Your concern needs to be where you're falling short, not where she's falling short. That's what I'm talking about. You can set those aside. And if you're living feeling like, yeah, I'm flawed and I'm messing up and I've learned some patterns that don't work, but God loves me and that's enough, then I'll have enough courage and strength to try to relate in different and authentic ways. And my communications will be invitations towards health and intimacy. They won't just be a boxing match to where we trade blows. I'll have the freedom and to be able to say, you know, I'll believe, yes, I'm flawed. Yes, I made a mistake. Yes, I am forgiven. And with that courage, I can move forward. Okay. Now, what I'd like to do, I think I got time, y'all. I'm going to now, does that make sense to y'all so far, how that fits together? It's really like Jerry was talking about the dark side. It's a distortion and self-protective way of using the gifts that God gave us. And we move into that for a lot because there's a lack of faith. And the lack of faith could be gigantic. It lasts for days or years or months or a lifetime. Or the lack of faith could be momentary. Okay. But I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to take a harmonizer. And when I say harmonizer, I want to make this clear. When we worked with the training this week, what we had a chance to do is to say, this system is not about pigeonholing people into one of six different personality types. So every time I say harmonizer, what I'd like for you to think is, when I'm operating out of that harmonizer part of my personality, because we've all got some of all of it. God wouldn't say, love me with all your heart and all your strength and all your soul and all your mind. He wouldn't say that if you didn't have all those parts available. That would be mean. Wouldn't it be mean? I mean, it would just, you know, be like telling me to run, you know. All right, so. All right, so. Harmonizers, or that harmonizer part of you, I'll do my best to, we say that word because it's simple and it makes it easier to teach in a caricature kind of way. You know, like you could say Archie Bunker was a persister, always in distress, but a persister. Spock, the Vulcan, he was an achiever. And he didn't have enough, other juice even to get in distress. He was just an achiever. Okay, so. Harmonizers are what God built into them as a strength was compassionate, sensitive, warm. What they do is they view the world through their heart. And if you ask a harmonizer, how did you know that? They will say, I don't know. And they might sigh. And what you know is they know, but they don't have the data to tell you. So you say, harmonizer says, I don't think so-and-so is doing very well. And their achiever spouse says, how do you know that? Did they say something? The harmonizer says, no. Did you see something? No. Have you heard something? No. How do you know? I don't know. And they'll put their hand over their heart again. Okay. That is not bad information just because you can't document it with photo surveillance or something. It's great information. And those of you who have harmonizer spouses will learn to listen to that. So if I went to interview for a job one time and the man had his wife there, and when we left, what I knew was I knew I had the qualifications for the job, but unless his wife trusted me, this deal was not going to happen because he had brought his wife as a thermometer. You know, she didn't ask a question. She smiled and everything. And then they got home, I'm absolutely sure. And since I did get to the position, I think she said, yeah, I think he's trustworthy. or I think you'll work, I think you'll whatever. But so that's how harmonizers, that's their strength. In a church setting, compassionate, sensitive, warm, they're wonderful people in benevolence ministries. My wife worked in a church, and she loved to give stuff to people who needed it. She thought that was fantastic. They're wonderful if you need somebody to sit with somebody who's lost somebody or somebody who's going through anxiety because there's an operation, or somebody to meet people at the front door and remember their name. Not just their name, but the fact that their mother was sick last week. And they'll ask about that. So harmonizers have that wonderful ability to make people feel welcome. And that's part of what's happened for us. There's been a lot of harmonizer energy that's made us feel welcome and taken care of. Cared about, not just because we came from Arkansas to bring y'all something, but cared about because of who we were. Okay. Examples of harmonizers. These are old examples. Dinah Shore. No, y'all don't know who Dinah Shore is. You're the seashore, but not Dinah Shore. Barney. Lassie, E.T., Mr. Rogers. I've never worked in a kids program anywhere where I wouldn't call Mr. Rogers within about a week. And I didn't go in and do my sweater and the whole change shoes. It just, okay, kids pick up on stuff. Casper the friendly ghost. Sure. Okay, so these are all the upside of the harmonizer. Okay, good, good. We still shooting for 11, Jared? Where's Jared? 11? Good to go. Okay, contributions, the ability to nurture, to give to others. They're good at creating harmony. They create personal safety. What I know is I could make a total fool of myself up here today, and my wife would not step an inch back from me when I got through. Matter of fact, she'd move toward me to encourage me. So that's what harmonizers offer. They offer personal safety. And then they like their offices cozy. They like things that feel good to their senses. Okay, their viewpoint is through their feelings, which makes them about 30%. I'm going to go fast through some of this. Their strengths are their ability to nurture and take care of others. They're compassionate, sensitive, and warm. Here's an example of a bad job for a harmonizer. Throw down that strong box or I'll blow your head off. Well, I'll wing you for sure. Okay, maybe I'll just climb up there and give you a good Dutch rub. That's a harmonizer desperado. And the problem is, every mean thing he said, he put himself in that person's shoes and said, oh, I wouldn't want somebody doing that to me. So he, okay. It makes it hard for harmonizers to fire people. So if you have a business and you need a hatchet man, don't get a harmonizer. Because they'll be splitting their salary with everybody they fire, you know. Okay. Well, I know you're going to have a hard time. I'll just send you half of my check. And then, so they won't be able to survive. They'll starve to death. Okay, people are motivated. God's given the ability to be motivated by different things, and that draws them into and rewards them for the use of their gifts. And the harmonizer, for example, they are very into relationships, and they love being around people, and that gives them energy. When you're operating out of your gifts, what you do gives you energy. You have this sense of, I was made for this. Does anybody feel that? Now, I feel that in a hammock. I'm a dreamer. Okay? All right. Other harmonizer gifts are, things that motivate harmonizers are they like things that feel good to them, like the smell of candles or warm water or a shirt that was maybe, I had a shirt one time that was my dad's, and it was real soft. It had been washed so many times you could see through it. And I remember my dad in it, so it had emotional kind of warm fuzzies associated with my dad. I literally wore the shirt until the cuff would hang here, and then there would be three threads, because I have long arms, my dad didn't, so there would be three or four threads up here, and then the rest of the shirt would be here. I could still read my watch. Okay. Okay. Now, so they need recognition of person, not am I useful, but do you love me? Are you glad I'm here? Am I special in some way, not am I not just a good piece of office machinery, but is there something about me that couldn't be replaced or hired out? They need to know that. And then the sensory comforts. Okay, harmonizers will have to come to a choice too. Who will I follow? That was interesting for me. I didn't come to Christ until late in my life. 37, is 5, 4, 40, 3, 2, 1, 42. 42? Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. I'm sorry. No wonder there's so much I don't want to remember. Okay. So, but do you know how I came to Christ? Somebody told me that he knew my name. Not that I was part of mankind and that he cared for mankind, but he knew Bob. He knew how many hairs I had on my head. He had already written my name in a book, and he had plans for me personally. Now, that's 42, that's 29 years, 19, it's a lot of years ago. you can tell I don't do the taxes. It's been a long time. But anyway, he wrote that in his book, and so I was drawn to Christ because he cared for me personally. You couldn't have told me enough right things to do to where that would have worked. So that's good for discipleship and for evangelism, is to understand people are not going to be motivated by the same things you are all the time. And the fact that Jesus cared for me, and the reason that I do work for him, it has nothing to do with guilt. I don't do guilt very much. It's not a big thing on my list. But I feel so thankful for what he did for me. I want to serve him. It's that harmonizer part. I want to give back. Okay. I define my needs if I'm in a negative spot, and I think it's up to me to make sure that I'm loved. I'll move into negative driver behavior, and for the harmonizer, the driver is called please you, and it will show up the instant I move into it. I'll lean forward. My posture will look like a question mark. My eyebrows will go up like, hmm? I will use words like, you know, sort of, kind of, maybe, because I'm leaving myself plenty of room not to be in conflict with you. So if you say, what would you like for lunch, Bob? And I'll say, Mexican food? And if some, maybe a hamburger? Okay. And so what I'm doing is, as a harmonizer, I'm not being straight, or I might just say, I don't care. And so one of the things I had to learn to do when I got married was I had to learn to state my preferences. Because the negative side of a harmonizer is they will say, I don't care. And then whoever's with them will believe that and go do whatever they want to do. And then the harmonizer writes that down as one more selfish act on the part of my partner. And then the negative side of that at some point is when the harmonizer has given 95% and gotten 5% back over a long period of time, then what, oh gosh, did you hear that? All right. What they'll do is they will go in their heart or out loud, they will go, after all I've done for you. And the partner will go, what? And then they will bring out, they'll finally bring out the bill that they've been keeping in their pocket with all the compromises and gifts they've given. So that's the dark side of the harmonizer, is they will use that God-given ability to be empathetic just to avoid conflict. But they build resentment in the process. Now, for each of the other five personality parts that we have, there is an equally predictable and unpleasant-looking descent. And so, again, I'd encourage you, I hope y'all have a chance to do some more workshops and get more into the negative, because it tells us where we're missing it. For me, what this means is, if I move into this negative behavior, what it means is, for that moment, I am not believing that God's love for me is sufficient to pay for my place on earth. I need to earn that from you one more time. Here comes Jared. Are we good, Jared? Oh, okay. Man, I was waiting to be tackled. I could feel it. Oh, it's going to be ugly. See, I'm a dreamer. I could stop right here. I'm okay with that. All right. As a harmonizer, I focus on getting my needs met. My need is to feel. I'd settle for conditional love. But on the other hand, Feldman, having the biggest brain among us, means that he has mere child's play to subdue him with an ordinary headlock. And really, the reason I throw that slide in is because our greatest strength is our greatest area of vulnerability, because it's the area in which we will move towards self-sufficiency. So if I am able to be organized and responsible, then at some point that can flip over into not trusting God, and all of a sudden I am controlling, which is the distortion of that. Okay, we're doing good. Okay, and what'll happen is in the long haul, I'm just going to stop there. In the long haul, what'll happen is if we take our gifts and we distort them to meet our own needs, we will actually be in what basically is just an addiction, whether it's an addiction for work, an addiction for praise from other people, an addiction for excitement and activity. We will do whatever we have to do to get that momentary hit, and it will never be satisfying and fulfilling until we're able to move up here and use the gifts God gave us to serve Him. Thank you.